Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour Week 9 Rankings Debate. Each position, we're going through all the injuries, everything you need to know on a Tuesday, because it is Tuesday. So obviously some things are going to change. If you tweet me on Sunday being like, Matt, I just watched your show. How'd you not know X player was out? Well, it probably happened on like a Friday. So we have the up-to-date information that we have right now. The rankings are always updated on Roto Experts and SportsGrid.com. The conversation won't really change anything. We're going to talk about, you know, 98% of the things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And then two will change. It's par for the course. It's football.
Yeah, and if
stuff changes Sunday morning.
Oh, all like minutes before kickoff, everything changes. So yeah, my advice to people who want to watch, I mean, just catch us live Sunday mornings. You mean you're updating your rankings nonstop during the show, commercial breaks.
Pat Mayo not around this Sunday.
Oh, well then don't watch the show.
My 1 week off a year.
It'll be Garen and I. You'll probably want to watch for a few minutes and then turn the channel.
Yeah, no, you'll be fine. I still will be updating my rankings though through Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to be here.
Yeah,
I got a wedding to go to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, back on the East Coast.
Oh, double nice.
Yeah, double nice.
It's probably an open bar.
It's not. Oh. It's not an open bar. At least I don't think it is. Hopefully it is.
Oh, yeah,
it's going to be a rough shape for the rankings. Fortunately, I have that extra hour.
So yeah, I can wake up Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. I can wake up an hour later and do the rankings, and it'll be like I'm on adjusted time.
Yeah, 2 o'clock start.
Yeah, 2 o'clock start. Oh, watching the primetime games out there is so rough.
Oh, it's a challenge.
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, the games, and it's like, oh my God. When I lived in Mountain Time, that was perfect.
Yeah, I lived out west too. I lived in Red Deer, and I mean, you can't do your work, like you can't get your pro lines or your picks that morning. You got to do it the night before, because if you have like a rough Saturday night and you got a rough Sunday morning, games start at 11 o'clock there. I mean, those London games are starting at like 7.
11's a great start time though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed I'd wake up, football's on. It's not like I wake up, I have to wait 3 hours, then football's on.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this. Running backs. So the injuries that we're dealing with now, so the guys that are not ranked, LeSean McCoy is ranked, Carlos Hyde is ranked, Devonta Booker is ranked, and DeMarco Murray is also ranked. They're dealing with a hammy, a shoulder, and a foot injury. Guys that are not ranked, Doug Martin not ranked, Tevin Coleman not ranked. I don't think he's going to play in the Thursday nighter.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think
so
either of those two guys are playing in the Thursday nighter.
Yeah.
Spencer Ware in the concussion. I originally had him in, but the Chiefs just went and signed Bishop Sankey, leading me to believe. I mean, you don't sign Bishop Sankey unless you're real desperate for running backs.
And they are. You think they want Davis back? They just cut that guy.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm actually.
Yeah, well, they traded him and then Green Bay cut him.
I'm surprised they didn't go re-sign him to have a guy who knew the playbook on the team.
Well, originally when I read yesterday that they had cut Davis, I thought for sure. I was like, okay, well, Casey's probably just going to go pick this guy up. He at least knows the playbook and they'll just plug him in if Ware can't go and just right behind Charkandrick West, but.
So I think that's a decent point to start. James Starks not in the rankings. Jaquizz Rogers not in the rankings. Jamal Charles and Jerick McKinnon not in the rankings. We don't have an update on Jerick yet.
Yeah.
He may or may not play, but he was still in a walking boot on Monday.
Yeah, that it doesn't look good for him to play. I mean, and I think they just rolled Asiata. Ronnie Hillman got a couple snaps,
stupid
too.
Ronnie
he was
Hillman,
not good.
Ronnie Hillman reeks.
There's like one play where he's wide open to catch it, and they went right through his hands, and he's just like, damn, that was my shot.
I loved the Monday Nighter.
Yeah,
I had all the monies on the Bears.
Nice. I actually won Survivor in one league because I was on Denver.
And everyone else had
Minnesota?
And everyone
was on Minnesota to finish up. So,
good. You don't
want to
take road teams, man.
No. You learn that. I mean, even the Steelers. Everybody was on the Steelers that 1 week in Miami.
Yeah. What do you think happened? Because there's been a lot of theories going on about why Minnesota kind of crapped out. Obviously, the big thing is Sam Bradford in the offensive line.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me.
Green Bay lost in Chicago, or was it Detroit lost in Chicago earlier this year, too.
Yeah.
I think it's just to do with that field. I think the field is so crappy in Chicago, it like evens out teams.
That could have something to do with it for sure. It's like Washington, too. I mean,
RG3
always complained about it in Pittsburgh, the field. But it's that offensive line, just watching. I mean, I think the Eagles opened up a lot of people's eyes in the game previous that you can attack the team, just go at them with blitzes. Because, I mean, Bradford doesn't have any time. This guy's getting rocked. And a couple more shots like that, we're going to see Hill in there. And I don't think it's going to be any better. It's not great. He has no time to let the plays develop. And they don't have AP, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like AP was doing much.
It wasn't doing much, but he's certainly better than Asiata.
Yeah,
like,
that's
he can
true.
Certainly at least move the chains a little bit. And
they'll be better when Jarek's back, but I don't think the offensive line is going to be too big of an issue this week. Detroit is second last in adjusted sack rate.
Okay.
It's going, and Bradford and the Vikings in general have just been a lot better at home.
Yo, absolutely. Yeah, they're just, teams are better at home.
All right, so running back rankings at the top, Zeke Elliott at Cleveland. No shocker there.
He runs so hard.
He's so good.
Oh, he is. He really is. And that offensive line certainly helps to, you know, control the pace and control the line. But, you know, this guy doesn't even get touched until 4 or 5 yards into his carry. And
then
he runs over them.
And then he moves the pile another 4 yards.
Very impressive stuff from Zeke.
So he's at one. Le'Veon Bell at number two. Devonta Freeman, Sons, Tevin Coleman, the Thursday nighter, number three. DeMarco Murray, four, assuming he plays, obviously. Even if he only gets 60% of the snaps, he'll be fine.
Yep.
Carlos Hyde, right now, we don't know whether or not he is going to play. So I guess that's a decent starting point. On Tuesday, the 49ers refused to update the situation, which leads me to believe he could be more hurt if he's playing. I want to play him against New Orleans.
Absolutely.
It's a very good spot. If he doesn't play, it goes down to Chandron, Mike Davis, and DeJuan Harris. I think DeJuan Harris is the guy that you'd want to start out of those three because you can't let a matchup against the Saints go by the wayside. You just can't.
No, you can't. You're right. And, you know, because he runs harder than the other three, I think. He's just more downhill runner, and I think that's what we like to see against New Orleans. He can catch.
Yeah, and we saw during the last, I mean, right before the bye week, we saw Mike Davis start the game. He ended up with a touchdown, but then he kind of got phased out. Drum was only really working in the passing game, and in the second half, it was all DeJuan Harris.
I noticed, I believe Drum caught a touchdown in the red zone.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's going to be a part of the passing game, but I agree with you. It's Harris. You know, interesting with Carlos Hyde, I mean, last year they said he was fine. He was only going to miss a week or so.
And out for the year.
He was shut down for the rest of the season. So, interesting to see if he's healthy. I expect him to get a full workload and, you know, sprinkle in a couple of the guys, like, on third downs. But this is the difference between Seattle last week. I mean, they didn't really use Michael all that much. I mean, this was an opportunity for Seattle to really take advantage of the Saints and how garbage they are at tackling and every team running through them.
I don't get it.
They hardly used Michael. It was a lot of C.J. Procise, and 20, he did well.
21-21 in snap count.
Yeah, and he did fine. He was great in catching balls. But, I mean, even I noticed in that game, Michael had two or three nice runs, and then they took him out, and they went to Procise. So that was really confusing to me. But this is an opportunity for Hyde and everybody else to really just exploit the matchup.
Yeah, if Hyde's in, I'm all in on Hyde. If not, DeJuan Harris, obviously he wouldn't be inside the top 10, but he'd be like a fringy top 30 guy, a guy that you could plug and play if you needed a running back.
Absolutely, for sure. Six teams on bye this week.
Yeah, you mentioned the Michael not playing all that many snaps and Procise coming in. Do you think this leaves the door open for Thomas Rawls at all?
No.
When he comes back?
I thought that if, you know, this was a bad week for Michael and he struggled, it would open up the door. But what I'm hearing from Rawls is he's already ruled out this week, and apparently he's not even close. There's all kinds of different reports. There's one report out of Seattle. I forget her name, but she had said, like, he's another few weeks at least away.
Let's say he's 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from now. I mean, it's impossible to.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I would trade Michael. I would flip him because I see Procise starting to get more involved.
And if Rawls comes back,
and
if Rawls comes back,
that's the thing. Like, I don't see Rawls being productive, like, as a guy that you're going to want to start with confidence. I think at best, for Rawls' case, it's a split. But I think that I would consider what could I get for Michael right now. And it's too bad that he didn't have a great game because the value would have been a lot higher. You could have got something else. But I see this as just a three-headed monster when Rawls comes back. Procise is nice. The guy can catch.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in space. He's very speedy. So I think we're starting to see a little bit more from him.
So Hyde at 5, Melvin Gordon at 6 against the Titans at home. Todd Gurley at 7. I don't love that, but I know he's going to get 25 carries.
Oh, yeah.
So
volume's there.
Yeah.
Not doing anything with it, but he's getting the touches.
Devonta Booker's dealing with a shoulder injury. If he's playing, I like him a lot against the Raiders, even in daily fantasy. I think people are going to jump off of it. That's usually the trend of what happens in daily fantasy. You have the super cheap guy. Everyone uses him. I mean, performed well. I think he had like 16 DK points.
Yeah.
But the next week
for
when he jumps,
$600 or something.
Yeah, now he's jumped up like $2,000 in price. People are like, oh, no.
Yeah, but again, it's much like Gurley. It's volume. At least he's looked better in the one game as a starter than Gurley has all season long. So, yeah, I'm fine with that. And I'm playing him again in DFS. It's a great matchup, and he's just going to be heavily leaned on.
Gurley's been starting to get involved in the passing game.
Yes,
which
he
is
has.
Key for that floor that he wasn't having for the first few weeks.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating. I mean, what have we been saying about Gurley? I mean, you have him, it sucks.
Yeah.
Hopefully he flipped him.
And the weird thing is, you could have drafted Jamal Charles in the third round like I did in a couple leagues. But if you took Gurley in the first, like the back end towards the first, obviously he hasn't been good. But he hasn't been like a colossal bust.
No,
he's been playable every week.
He's been playable every week. He's been getting double-digit fantasy points. He's just not getting that 20-plus, a 28, you know, that some of these guys like Bell and Johnson and Zeke, these guys that are getting. He's not doing that. But, yeah, he's startable. It's just, it is what it is now. You know you're going to get 25-plus touches from him, 20 to 25-plus touches, and 10 to 12 points.
And hopefully a touchdown.
Yeah, and hopefully he finds the end zone. I mean, he could find it this week.
He gets all the goal line carries.
Exactly.
Why not?
Nobody's
right?
coming in to steal him from him.
So Gurley at 7, Devonta Booker at 8, Jonathan Stewart at 9, Charkandrick West at 10. We'll go back to him in a second. So the 11 to 20 range features Michael at 11, Spencer Ware is not in the rankings. He's out of the rankings, so he is no longer at 12. He's out. Matt Forte at 12, Riddick, Ajayi, Asiatic, assuming there's no Jarek, Darren Sproles at 17, Frank Gore, Hi-Ho, Duke Johnson, Terrence West, and you've actually slotted Mark Ingram
right after
in behind Terrence West or Darren Sproles.
Right after
West. I think in mine, you have West ranked higher, but you have him ahead of Frank Gore in yours.
Yeah, I do. I have West. I have Ingram at 18. I go where if he plays, but I don't think he's going to play. Sproles, West, Ingram, Henry's in there, Murray. This is a tough Murray is a struggle. Ingram, it's a struggle. I know that you're happy about it.
I got so many.
How happy were you when he fumbled?
It's funny. I wasn't watching that game. Like, the game was on, but I was watching a different game. I was like, where the hell is Ingram? Like, why isn't he in the game, like, being a goon, averaging 2 yards per carry? They're like, oh, no, he's benched. I was like, oh. And then the tweets flooded in. It was just like, this is like Mayo's Christmas. It just
And it frustrated a lot of people out there.
He has played like the Ingram.
Yes.
Outside of last year in that, like, three-game stretch the year before.
Yeah.
This is the Mark Ingram I talk about when I talk about Mark Ingram.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, you're not wrong when you're talking about him, and I know you don't like him. And my love for him was 3 years ago when he was a sleeper and he was costing your RB 40, 45. It was fine to draft him then. I only own him in one league, and I play, like, 14, 15 fantasy leagues, and that's just a keeper league, and it's because I drafted him 2 years ago, and I get him at great value. It was the seventh round. But what I've noticed from him, there's something going on with him and Sean Payton. It's been two straight weeks now where he's fumbled, costly games. Payton says they're going to focus on ball control, securing the ball this week. But there's some reports that Hightower's earned more carries. Has he earned more carries? I mean, he didn't look great. But the biggest takeaway from me is those 27 touches that he had. I mean, you don't get that from Ingram. Ingram doesn't get 27 touches. Last year, he didn't reach that number at all. 2 years ago, he reached it 3 times, but he had a lot of catches. One game, he had 7 catches. Another, he had 6. But he doesn't get that volume. I mean, 5 goal line carries from Hightower, and he didn't get in once. And I'm sitting there like, are you going to play Ingram now? Just like, I'm sure he'll get in from the one. A lot of weird play calling. But seriously, there's something going on now, and this is just an awesome matchup. Like, this is the time, right? I mean, this is what Ingram owner has been waiting for. I mean, a matchup against San Fran where everybody has just made them look like a college football team, like an average team. So I think you can get away with playing both guys this week.
So you would rank Ingram over...
I would rank him ahead. I just think he's
over
a
Hightower?
Better back.
For me, for Hightower, he comes in at number 26 in the rankings. I think that he ends up playing probably 30% of the snaps, and there's always Kadet and Kuhn to deal with, so it does kind of cap the projected upside that you can put on those guys. But I would expect Ingram to be back being the guy, I guess, again.
Yeah, and I have Hightower right there, too. I have him at 26, so I honestly do think like it could be a split.
Yeah, if there's a matchup to roll them both out in, this is the matchup.
This is the matchup to do it. So, I mean, we've talked before about riding the Tennessee guys in great matchup. You got away with it last week. Both were top 10 in touches, and Henry and Murray, you could have played both of them. They both found the end zone. I feel that way again this week for both of them.
I don't.
No, you don't? I feel like you could play them both.
Unless DeMarco's actually banged up.
Yeah. Well, he is banged up. But I mean, he had an MRI, came clean. But
as long as he's fine, he's the one getting all the touches.
He is. But, I mean, Henry's took a goal line carry from him last week.
Yeah, but they were up so much in that game that it was hard.
They were.
In the games that had been closer the weeks before,
it's all Murray. It's all Murray, yeah. I just feel like, you know, it's 6 teams on bye. In a deep league, you can get away with, you know, playing Hightower and Henry in a flex spot.
Where do I have Henry here? I have Henry at...
I have Henry just outside my tie, like 21.
I have him at 31.
Yeah, so I'm big on him. I like him actually like more than Crowell.
I don't. I'd still rather Crowell. At least I know Crowell is getting 15 touches. They might be the worst 15 touches
the
of
worst
the week.
Ones. Yeah, and
but
he was
he's
awful
still
last
getting
week,
them.
But he got the goal line touchdown, which
and he always gets the goal
okay.
line touches, right?
He does make that happen. But I think that they're starting to just involve Henry a little bit more and just
maybe
a little
maybe
cautious
so.
With Murray.
Maybe just so. I wouldn't be rolling like the guys I have above Derrick Henry right now. Like, I have Latavius Murray higher. I have Powell higher. Isaiah Crowell, Hightower.
Yeah.
Rashad Jennings. Even Peyton Barber. Let's talk about that for a second. That Thursday night game, very briefly. I know that's going to be the closest one coming at us. Doesn't look like Chiquiz is going to play.
No.
They re-signed Mike James off the street, basically. Antone Smith has been the one who's the starter. I mean, 2 weeks ago, it was Peyton Barber. 3 weeks ago, it was Peyton Barber. He is the one who got all the carries at the end of the game to kind of close it out. Last week, after Chiquiz left, Antone Smith outsnapped him 23-3 during that game. So I think, unless they tell us something differently that Barber is starting, I'm going with Antone Smith in a revenge game.
In a revenge game, and you know what? If you look at his career numbers, and you can take this with a grain of salt because he's only had 35 carries in his career, but it's like it's like 9.6 yards per carry. And like 17 yards per catch, and he only has like a handful of catches too. But I think he can be productive. I think, and it just goes to show what they've done. I mean, Martin was out, then Sims got a bulk of the carries. He was out, and then Chiquiz just got a ton of touches. Now he's out. I think they're just going to do the same thing with Smith. Like, here you go.
I don't know if he's into the ground a little bit. He's so small.
He's
though.
Very tiny, but I think the volume is going to be there. I think he's going to be there catching some balls. I like him as well. Off Davis or James, who I just got right off the street, as you said. Yeah. So I think he's going to have a lot of volume, and I think it's not an awesome matchup, but it's okay.
It's fine. It's one that you can get a lot of receptions in, and that is what Smith does better than Barber. The thing with Barber is I could see him getting goal line touches.
Yeah.
And that's why I still have him inside the top 30. I do think there's a path. Like, if we were sitting here at the end of the Thursday game and all of a sudden Peyton Barber ended up with 19 carries and Smith ended up with 2, I frankly wouldn't be all that stunned.
No, we wouldn't be shocked. We're just like, we're talking about two scrubs here. And like, we're talking about whoever has the hot hand, whoever rides. And that's going to be the same thing with Ingram and Hightower. Like, if Ingram fumbles the ball again,
he's
obviously finished. But if Hightower runs hard in that game and it's San Fran, I mean, if this guy starts that football game and he's running hard, it's probably going to be a lot of Hightower. And if they're up in that game, then it could be Ingram for a confidence thing later on in the fourth or something like that. That's why I feel like maybe you can get away with playing both guys.
Let's circle back to Charcandrick West. I have him at number 10 in the rankings, assuming no Spencer Ware. Like I mentioned, that Bishop Sankey signing really puts a red light on everything to Spencer Ware coming back. Obviously, Charles is off visiting Dr. James Andrews.
That's never a good thing.
He needs, rotator cuff surgery?
He's done. Charles is done.
Done? Done for his career? You think we'll ever see him again?
We may see him again.
Would you drop Jamal Charles?
I'm not dropping him. I have him in one league, but I have Ware too. So it's like, if I'm sitting okay in that league. But if I was in a pinch, like if I was in a tough spot, I would use my claim on West. I would be trying to get West, like, or Hightower, one of those guys, because I need wins now, and I'm not getting them from Charles. Like, it's just, he's done, man. Like, we won't ever see him be anywhere near what he used to, I don't think. But you're going to see Dr. James Andrews. That's where guys go, like, to die. Like, it's all over for him.
So, if nowhere, I think West gets the volume.
Exactly.
He's a top 10 guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's playing the Jags.
He's playing the Jags. He's proved in the past. Last year was a good yards per carry when him and Ware were splitting time. He had 3 games in a row where he had a touchdown, so he can do that. He can do the goal line work. He can catch balls. It doesn't matter if it's Foles or if it's Smith. That offense likes to just check down to running backs, and he can catch. So, yeah, I mean, West just comes in and fills in nicely. Not as nice as Ware, I don't think, but pretty darn close to the production Ware's been giving us for all season.
West is a much better receiver than Spencer Ware. Obviously, Ware better between the tackles and at breaking tackles to get those tough yards in between. But I can just see them. Just here you go. Here's a pitch.
Yeah.
Hit the outside and go.
Yeah, for sure. What did he have? Like 12 to 16 carries last week, and he had 50 or 60 yards?
Yeah.
Like, he was fine. He was productive. I know they were playing the Colts, but this is not a bad matchup for him.
Selfishly, I want Spencer Ware to play because I have him everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
But
even if he does
the daily fantasy side of me wants to see, you know, no... I know Spencer Ware, so I can just play Charcandrick West.
Play Charcandrick West at that wicked cost.
Yeah.
It's like Booker last week. You just play him and you just roll with him. A nice cost. So,
do you worry that, like, Tyreek Hill is going to start getting some run out of the backfield?
Yeah, he can. He's a guy that I talked about on FST Monday with Derek Van Riper. He's a speedy guy.
Does anyone talk about his, like, horrible, horrible past?
No. I don't even know it.
Yeah, good. Look into that.
Oh, really?
Not a good guy, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyreek Hill, bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy. Could be valuable in fantasy, though.
It could be valuable in fantasy. Watching him play, I noticed him 2 weeks ago. He had a touchdown. It was one catch.
I think you just hit the key word. You notice him when he plays.
Yeah.
Because he's so fast.
He is extremely fast. He had one target from one catch 2 weeks ago. He had a touchdown. I believe he made he had some work in the return game. He looked really nice. And then last week.
They throw him screens.
screens.
They threw him some screens, and that's the thing, right? They're like, that's what Kansas City's doing. I mean, there's no Macklin. Where's Macklin? I know he caught a touchdown, and maybe Foles gets in, and there's some Andy Reid, Philadelphia Eagles connection with all three of them. Maybe something happens, but it's not happening right now with Alex Smith. He's just like, check down. This is where he throws. They're using Tyreek Hill, and he's somebody that people should watch and just keep an eye on.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick him up. Just because
there's a claim on him.
There's never any volume for him. No. Like the chances of him scoring 20 points are worse than the chance of him scoring 0 points.
Yeah, good call for sure. But I just think that they're starting to use him in the playbook, and it's something that people should just keep an eye on. You're right. He is very fast.
Asiata, I think at 16 he gets volume, and that's just what's going to happen if Jerick McKinnon is out. Theo Riddick, I have him ranked ahead of Jay Ajayi this week. Now, these are PPR rankings. Ajayi has a terrible matchup against the Jets, but I think that he'll get the volume enough that he'll overcome that. He's very playable. Mm-hmm. But with Theo Riddick, I'm going to just, after watching what Jordan Howard did to the Vikings, now, I don't think that's going to be usual. The Vikings are much better at home, like I mentioned, and that defense is still very,
very good.
Although Xavier Rhodes would walk off the field.
Yeah, that's a concern for them.
So whether or not he plays could be a determination here. But, I mean, it's no effect on the run defense, really. But the way that they were using Howard as a pass catcher successfully out of the backfield, I think Riddick ends up with like 8 catches in this game.
Yeah, I have him as a top 10 back this week. I do. He came back after missing a couple weeks and was
just, great.
You know, Riddick is of old. He looks great. He's involved in that passing game, as you said. He's going to catch 7 or 8 balls. He's actually running pretty well, too. He's getting a decent yards per carry. Zach Zenner hardly saw the field at all last week, only a handful of snaps. So, yeah, I mean, Riddick is, he's great. He's awesome. I know it's a tough defense, but you're right. He's going to catch a few balls. He's definitely an RB1.
Weirdly enough, he's kind of matchup-proof because of the type of back that he is. Because he's going to get those greasy catches either way.
Yeah, exactly. And you made a good point last night or Monday night watching that football game. You know, even Langford caught a couple balls. Langford caught a ball.
Langford reeks.
Langford does reek, but he caught a ball against them. And Howard, I mean, 30 touches and 200-plus yards. Awesome.
Darren Sproles. Are we buying him as the lead back in Philly?
It's funny. I read a report this morning. We talk about an FSC. It's like in the report on Roto-World, you know, the headline is something to do with Sproles perhaps taking over from Matthews and Matthews getting benched. Isn't that what we've seen for like 4 weeks now? Matthews has, out of 7 games, 4 of the 7, 10 or fewer carries, one of them 11 carries. He's only getting goal line work. That's the only time that he came into that football game on Sunday night. He got a touchdown. It's Sproles. It's Sproles, and I don't understand, man. I think that Doug Peterson should be using a little bit more Matthews, but he's not. He's obviously in his doghouse. For them in the fourth quarter, up by 10, to get the first touch of the game was Wendell Smallwood, and he comes in and he fumbles, and you play him, a rookie, over Matthews, who had the fumble issues a couple weeks ago, but you got to go back to him, don't you?
So that they're going with Sproles.
They're going with Sproles, and that's what they should have did in that game. Just continue to go with Sproles. Why are you bringing in Smallwood, who hadn't played all game and who's cold, and his first touch is a fumble? That's a bonehead rookie decision. I think that they'll continue now to go with Sproles. They know what they have with him. He doesn't run between the tackles very well, but they use him in the passing game. They're just using him. So, I mean, 60-plus snaps
and
like 8 from Matthews last week.
Yeah, and I mean, it probably evens out a little bit more this
week. Slightly.
But I would still think Sproles plays more than 50% of the snaps because he's been around that mark all year.
Exactly.
Like,
no,
he's been the consistent one in that backfield that's always kind of on the field. And against the Giants, I mean, those little receivers hurt the Giants. We saw it with Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
We saw it with Randall Cobb. Just every single week, these little guys on these little dump-offs, just the Giants linebackers can't catch up to them. Who would be that guy for the Eagles, do you think, in the receiving game? I would think it'd be Josh Huff, but he might not play now. He has guns and weed.
Yeah, it's probably Jordan Matthews. Last week, Jordan Matthews, you know, he lined up in the slot a lot of the time, and, you know, he had double-digit targets. That was probably one of his better games.
That was his best game since
week
one.
We said last week he scores touchdowns against Dallas. Yep. He actually has now in every single game against them. There's something weird going on there. But he was involved. And you know what? Wentz doesn't take shots downfield. It's just not there. That's why there's so many rumors about Torrey Smith being traded there.
They're not going to get Jeffrey.
I know, but there's rumors about that.
If Torrey Smith came there, do you think they'd start taking more shots, really?
They might. I mean, I thought, you know, earlier in the year they were taking with Aguilar, they were taking shots downfield, but twice in that game on Sunday did Wentz throw the ball over 20 yards. They're not taking shots downfield. It's all just like slants. Beckham is heavily involved. They're just
I like Beckham.
Oh, Beckham's great.
I hope he's good.
He is, man. He's getting better and better, and I like what I've seen from him so far. They're using him a little bit more. He's a huge body.
Yeah, he is.
He's huge. I mean, those quick little slants, get him in space. He actually is not bad for his lankiness. He's pretty speedy for his size.
He's got moves.
Yeah. So he's getting more involved. The Eagles' wide receivers are just not helping Wentz. I mean, there's a lot of drop balls. We're seeing it from Matthews. We're seeing it from Aguilar. We're even seeing it from Beckham.
That was a big problem with Sam Bradford last year, too.
A lot of drops. They're not helping Wentz out at all, and I feel a little bit bad for him, but they're not taking any shots downfield. So that just goes to, that just bodes for Sproles, I mean, to have a better game, as you talked about, the Giants not covering.
Could this be an Ertz week?
It could be an Ertz week because they've really struggled again. I mean, Witten was okay in the first game of the year. I mean, he hasn't done anything since, and that's what we noticed, that they struggle against tight ends and they struggle in the slot. They're using him a little bit more again, but
I'd like to see them.
You can't trust him. It's too bad because he's talented, but again, they're just it's much like what Peterson and Andy Reid did in Kansas City. They didn't use Kelsey. Kelsey finally had a big week. A lot of that was because of Foles. Or Nick Foles. Yeah, he was throwing him the ball. So, again, they're using Ertz the exact same way they use Kelsey, the exact same offense. They're not taking any shots downfield. So, I'm down on everybody in the Philadelphia offense besides Sproles.
And Matthews, I guess.
And Matthews. He's fine. Yeah, you can play him with confidence.
Duke Johnson over Isaiah Crowell. That seems to be the play for me, especially with a very negative game script for running the ball and having to pass. And McCown looks very competent.
Yeah, he does. He looks good. He came back. That offense was fine. McCown's not a bad quarterback.
He's okay.
He's actually okay. The thing is he takes a lot of shots.
Oh, yeah. He has a big heart, that Josh McCown. Yeah. So what's going to happen is he's going to be looking good. They're going to be winning like 10-0 at some point in that Dallas game. They're going to be pressing again. It's going to be like third and goal from like the 4-yard line.
Yeah.
McCown's not going to see anyone open. He's going to get that look.
Yeah.
That look that he gets, he's going to take off towards the end zone.
And then he's
going to like helicopter spin. His shoulder's going to be like this on the ground.
It's going to pop out.
And he's just
going
to be gone for the season. That's what's going to happen to Josh McCown.
The 10th pop out of the season. I mean, we saw like his shoulder pop out like 4 times in one game earlier in the year. So yeah, the game script, I mean, it plays this way. I mean, Dallas is up in that game. You know, less Crowell and more Duke Johnson in the passing game. And he's shown before that he's pretty good with Duke.
In PPR, I think he's at least safe 10 points.
Yeah.
And with upside. And if he breaks one, then like, oh my God, Duke Johnson has scored 25 points.
Yeah, and I mean, Coleman coming back into that offense is going to help too. I mean,
helps all of them.
Yeah, Pryor's a top 10. I mean, Drew is like, wow, you got Pryor too high. I'm like, man.
Where do I have Pryor? I have Pryor at 13.
He's a top 10 wide receiver right now in terms of fantasy points. He's top,
he gets
what,
all
12
the targets.
In targets. He gets all of the targets. Coleman is good. He had a great game before he got hurt. I think it helps. I think it helps everybody in the offense.
It just makes the offense better.
Yeah, it opens things up because some passes to Duke Johnson.
And a lot of people talk about sometimes, oh, this guy's going to come back. That means this guy's not going to get so many targets. But at the same time, like, the Browns go 3-and-out a lot. Maybe with Coleman back, they don't go 3-and-out. They just run more plays.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, the offense is better with Coleman there. There's no question about it.
Baltimore backfield. Terrence West still?
Yeah.
I have him at 20. I don't feel great about it, but no, I think he's the guy.
He is the guy. I mean, that was just a tough matchup in the last game against the Jets. That just happens.
And Pittsburgh's not a good run defense.
I mean, you saw what Jay Ajayi did to them. So, yeah, absolutely. I think West is the guy there.
LeSean McCoy. We usually talk about him off the top because he's the most frustrating guy in the league.
Here we go again. And this is a Monday night game now.
Yeah, Monday night game. So, obviously, with the way these rankings are constructed, these are all the guys I would play over McCoy until we actually know. Like, if you get to Sunday and these guys are there and we don't know whether McCoy's playing or not, you play those guys instead. That's kind of the way that you have to do that. But they talked about getting him back to practice on Thursday. So, a guy like Antoine Smith, who I do have ranked above him, I mean, I would play Antoine Smith over LeSean McCoy. I don't want to.
No, of course
but
not.
But I don't want McCoy to sit out and me be sitting there like, oh, maybe I'll pick up Reggie Bush and play him again.
Yeah.
Because Gillislee's gone.
Yeah.
If you don't have Gillislee, then yeah. If you have Gillislee, move McCoy up to like the top 10, I guess.
Sure.
Although it's a bad matchup. Probably not the top 10.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, even if it was a healthy McCoy, we put him in a top 10 because of volume alone, and he's LeSean McCoy. But like, honestly, like, I could see a game like 14 carries, 45 yards.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tough matchup. It's in Seattle.
Saturday practice is going to be the key. So if he can get on the field Thursday, that's good news. If he's limited Friday, that's fine. But it's Saturday, because it's the Monday night game, that you really need to look at in order to make your decision. So I'll be updating the rankings then. If he gets a full practice in, I'll probably move him up to Jay Ajayi range.
Yeah. A borderline top 15 RB.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I have him right now myself. I got him 16, but that's assuming that he's going to play and he's going to be fine.
If he's ruled out, where do you put Gillislee? Top 20. Would you put him ahead?
I put outside the 20 for me.
Before or after Terrence West? Probably behind, right?
I would go after him, yeah. I would go after him. Just West it's a better matchup. This is just tough. And he signed Percy Harvin, eh? Buffalo, man. They make me laugh. laugh. They make me laugh so much. Like, this team, like the only team in the world that thought that LeSean McCoy wouldn't re-aggravate an injury. Actually, the only people in the world. Everybody else thought that he would re-aggravate that injury in that football game, and he did. So, yeah, Gillislee, it's a tough matchup. Volume's going to be there. He was okay last week.
He was good last week.
He was really good last week, actually. But, like, right outside the top 20, like, Wes is a guy I would play.
And you have to factor in the decision that we might not know what's going on Sunday, and that. If someone else can get me 12 points, I'm going to play that guy instead, other than potentially taking a zero.
Yeah, and if McCoy does play, you got to think that Gillislee's involved too.
Yes.
Like, McCoy's certainly not going to be 100%, especially if we don't hear him practice by Friday. You mentioned Saturday, which is good, key. Like, if he doesn't get on the football field Saturday, you need to start thinking about other people. But if he practices a little bit Friday, even if he does, and it's probably only going to be limited, I still think Gillislee's going to be involved in that football game.
Yeah, he probably gets 10 carries.
Yeah.
And they want to run
McCoy.
The ball.
Exactly, yeah, of course.
Maybe it's a Reggie Bush game. Maybe I'll pick him up and play him again. What a disastrous idea that was. I had no one. There was no one on the waiver wire. I was like, well, McCoy's out. I don't got anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
I remember there
six teams on bye.
There was one league, like my big, big money league. I have Alshon and I have Jordan Howard. And it's a 14-team league. Like, there was really no one to go pick up. I didn't want to play either one of those guys last week.
Yeah.
And, I had no other receivers to play. I had no other running backs to play. And I was forced to play them. I was like, oh, I feel like a genius.
Yeah.
Who knew?
It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I was on Yahoo, so I was like, they gave me, like, the negative projection. They were like, oh, you're only going to score, like, 13 points from this game. I was down by, like, 25. I think Howard alone got that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. A buddy of mine texted me last night. I had drafted for him, and I drafted Howard at the end, and he was chirping me, like, all year. Like, what do you draft Howard for? Like, Langford's a guy. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
What
He's
do you
all right.
What do you make of that situation?
It's Howard. It's like,
yeah, but 2 days ago, it was – people were I never said drop Howard. Never said drop Howard, but people were dropping Howard.
Right.
Obviously, he's the number one waiver priority if he's dropped.
For sure. Absolutely. To me, I look at it, and I said this yesterday, I actually thought that Kadeem Carey was going to have the best game of the three yesterday. I just didn't think that they were going to be as productive as they were in the past game and the run. It's a tough matchup against Minnesota, but as you said, they're playing worse on the road. For me, Howard is the most talented of the three, of course. Kadeem Carey's nothing. He's just a guy who had a hot stretch.
If he had got off, like if one of his first three runs was for 20 yards, it would have been him.
And
I worry about that going forward because that's still on the table with Howard.
Absolutely. So I think John Fox will continue to ride the hot hand. And if you're right, if it was Kadeem Carey last night who was good, or if it was Langford, it probably would have been that. But I think Howard is the most skilled out of the three. So I think he has the best chance of being hot. And then that case, and John Fox rolling with that guy. I mean, Langford, as you said earlier, I mean, he's awful. He's horrible.
Anyone else you want to talk about from this bottom part here? Like Rashad Jennings, probably, if you have to play a Giants running back. I don't want to play any of them.
Yeah, he's been bad. I look for Paul Perkins just to be more involved. He's not somebody that you can start, but I look for him. He's the most skilled back in that backfield. I look for him just to take on a bigger role in the second half of the season. It's hard to run on Philly.
Are we still worried about these Ezekiel Elliott domestic abuse NFL looking into it? Is it still time just to pick up Alfred Morris and have him?
Oh, yeah, you should have Morris. Morris shouldn't be hanging around, especially if you're a Zeke owner. Oh, my God, what do you – like, this is what it's all about. You have to have Morris. I mean, Morris
– if Zeke wasn't in and he was gone from the situation, would Morris be a top five guy every week?
He'd be a top 10, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That line is fantastic, man. Like I said, I mean, he just – Zeke runs 5 yards before he's touched, and then he just runs over people.
As a stash, would you rather still be stashing D'Angelo Williams or Alfred Morris? Because I would stick with Williams.
I would stick with Williams, too, because we know what we're going to get with him. He was a top four back last year. So I would go Williams, and a lot of people have already cut Williams. You know, he was hurt. He didn't play. Yeah. Bye week.
You still want to hold on to Williams.
I would pick him up, and then when we talk about Booker and Henry being already there, now they're involved. They should be – I mean, they're borderline startable. Booker obviously is. But yeah, no, I would certainly go ahead and get Alfred Morris. I mean, he would be an RB1 for sure in that offense.
Pick one to start because you have to.
Yeah.
TJ Yeldon or Chris Ivory?
It's Yeldon,
isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I just dropped Ivory in one league. I was drafting him really late thinking, you know what? This guy could be a buy-in replacement for me. You know, he was a top 10 RB last year in PPR and standard. He caught a lot of balls. I don't know what was wrong with him at the start where he was missing those games. Some
mystery injury.
Says something really weird, but I noticed the snaps last week was
back towards Yeldon.
It's
because he's their passing down back. They're always losing.
They suck. They're awful. So, yeah, they're down in all these games, so Yeldon gets in there and he catches balls. You're right. I mean, Ivory doesn't look good. I mean, he scored a goal line touchdown once, but who cares? Like, I mean, you're just banking on a touchdown. You can't play him with confidence.
Put a percentage on Latavius Murray this week. For in PPR, I know he had like 7 targets last week and 5 catches. 12 fantasy points for Latavius Murray this week. Do you think, how many times out of 10 do you think he scores over that number? Five?
Yeah, probably five. I would say
Denver's
that's like
tough, but they're not the greatest run D.
Yeah, I would say that's like almost his ceiling. Like he has to really find the end zone to get those double-digit points. And Gordon was okay last week.
But Gordon had a lot of catches.
But he had a lot of catches. So and they sprinkle in everybody, right? There's a little bit of just all three of all those backs in Oakland. So I think he could get to 12. It's a tough matchup for him, though. You know, Oakland's going to struggle in this game.
All right, let's do a crossover here between the running back and wide receiver rankings. We got to talk about our guy, Ty Montgomery, flea market. hey. So here's what we have in the backfield right now. Ty Montgomery has a sickle cell problem. It wasn't his kidney, or maybe his kidneys are affected.
Sure.
It looks like he's going to play.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb was dealing with a hamstring problem. I don't really know about him, but he's in the wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, that kind of just came out of nowhere.
Right now, I still have him in. So they've been splitting backfield work. Nyle Davis has been cut.
Done.
Leaving Don Jackson in the backfield as really the only running back, along with Aaron Ripkowski, the fullback, who had the most carries.
Who had the most carries last week. So I actually have him ahead of Don. I mean,
I put Don ahead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would go Ripkowski over him.
I put Don at 30 in the running back rankings.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets some work. But all of this leads me in a roundabout way to say is they're waiting for James Starks to come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If Starks is on your waiver wire, you go pick him up. He's nothing flashy, exciting. But
he's a top 20 guy if he's starting for the Packers.
Exactly.
He's probably 20.
Exactly. And we saw before when he was the guy, he get the volume and the work. It doesn't blow you away with numbers. But if he's going to get 20-plus carries, I mean, that's what we're looking for, volume. So, yeah, if he's hanging around your waiver wire, you go ahead and you pick him up and just hope. Because McCarthy said today, too, like, he wants to get a run game for Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers is not going to throw the ball 50-plus times every game.
Well, when he is, though, he's the number one quarterback.
Absolutely, he is. So, I mean, two straight unbelievable weeks from Rodgers where he threw the ball a ton, and that was without Cobb and Ty Montgomery last week, and he was really productive. So they're eventually going to get the run game working, and I think you're right. That's why they cut Davis, so they just know that Starks is close.
He's close, yes. Yeah. Probably next week, I would say. If he's still out there, he won't be picked up on your waiver wire right now.
Yeah.
You might get him as a free agent.
Yeah.
I would go do that.
Yeah, for sure. Don't use a claim on him and just hope that you can get him for nothing.
So if Montgomery's back this week, I expect him to lead the team in carries,
yeah,
weirdly enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's worked. The two games that he played, it's worked.
So here's this smorgasbord of rankings for Packers receivers. I have Jordy as the top one. He comes in at number 10.
Yep.
I have Montgomery at number 12. This is PPR, obviously. I have, where is he?
Oh, yeah,
Davante Adams.
Right,
I have right in between them at number 11.
I might even have the exact same.
Like,
I got all three.
They're all getting so much volume. I have Cobb at 20.
Well,
just because he's a bit banged up.
Yeah. And if Cobb was 100%, that's the guy I would have ahead. So I, like, as of right now, I have Cobb and then Adams and then Jordy, but they're all within like five spots of each other.
Start them all.
Start them all. Play them all. I mean, Jordy's lost a step. He looked fine. He got a touchdown. He was great.
He's the one that they still look at primarily in the red zone because Richard Rodgers wasn't even playing last week.
No.
So.
And Davante Adams has 30 targets in the last two games.
And they're also running out Jeff Janis. They're running out three people I've never heard of before.
Yeah, I know.
And they're catching touchdowns.
Yeah. Like I said, Rodgers is throwing the ball a ton. So, I mean, play everybody in this offense for sure.
But if Montgomery and Cobb are back, like, don't play Janis.
No. Don't play Janis. Yeah, Janis was a good pickup.
Because those guys weren't playing.
Because those guys were late scratches. You can go ahead and you picked him up and he scored a touchdown. I wouldn't count on that all the time. But as you said, if those guys are not playing, then you can play Janis.
Yeah, Janis played 92% of the snaps for the Packers.
Yeah.
If that's going to be the case, yes, he is playable.
Yeah, and Cobb, before he got hurt, it was like 3 weeks in a span of three weeks where he had the most targets
in
football.
The league. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
I can't believe he was like, I didn't even hear about those guys all week.
No.
I heard about them on the injury report, but it was like, oh, yeah, they're playing for sure. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. Cobb just kind of came right out of the blue, I believe, on Friday. Late Thursday, maybe early Friday. It was like, he's going to play. And he's a late scratch.
In my DK lineup, it was kind of weird. I had Ty Montgomery in, and then the news came out after the 1 o'clock start that he wasn't going to play. I was like, thank God Davante Adams is the same price.
That's why DraftKings is so awesome. Yeah. But I had Adams in a bunch of spots just because of the volume that he's been getting. I mean, he doesn't catch. I mean, 30 targets, 15 catches. I mean, that's the Adams that we saw last year, right? 20-plus targets, 2 catches. But Rodgers is at least going to him. And even sometimes he's pissed at Adams because Adams runs the wrong way. He looks at Adams. He's like, I want you to go that way, but I'm still going to throw it to you.
All right. So the top 10 in terms of rankings. Thank God Antonio Brown is back. I don't care if Jarvis. No, I almost said Jarvis Landry.
Landry Jones. Yeah.
We don't know that situation yet. I don't care which one it is. He's the number one receiver.
He's fine too with Landry.
Yeah, with Landry,
he's
fine. Yeah. With Ben, he's going to be great.
Oh yeah.
Julio Jones at number 2. Mike Evans at number 3. That's like your solid top 3 for sure. Mm-hmm. Then I go Dez.
Yeah, I got Dez in my 3. Actually, I got Evans 4. Just like Dustin Trufant.
Evans dropped like 5 scared. Passes last week.
I know.
And then the other ones, like Jameis had him on like a 70-yard touchdown, just overthrew.
Just overthrew it.
He was so wide open.
And that was the knock for me on Jameis. Like I like him, and I love Evans. I think he's great. And I love
he
the way
does
that
have drop
each
problems,
other, but
though.
He's got some drop problems, and Winston has some accuracy issues.
Last week was the first week that it hurt a little. Yeah. And I think Evan still scored like 13 points.
I know. Yeah, and that was
like he's been so good.
He's so good, but that was just Oakland that we were expecting so much. Yeah. Right? So I guess maybe a little bit of a downtick against Atlanta and Trufant, just a bit.
So Dez at 4. The one thing I worry about with all the Dallas players is that Zeke just ends up with like 250 yards.
Yeah.
And they don't pass.
That could happen. And they got away from the run game in the first half. They were running so well against Philly, and I think Philly made some adjustments that they stopped running and they went to to Dez a lot. 14 targets, only 4 catches. I mean, with Romo playing last week, I mean, he probably would have got killed after that blitz the whole time, but if Romo was be able to be protected, Dez probably would have had 3 touchdowns. Instead of like throwing a back shoulder, he threw a fade to him that almost got picked off. He underthrew him twice.
You know what's a really good play from like 35 yards out? Jump ball to Dez. Just, here you go.
Especially if the team is going to blitz like the Eagles were blitzing and they were allowing man-to-man coverage.
Put a little
Dez.
Bit of arc on it. Throw it a bit short so he has time to like box out, stop, and turn around.
And that was a great catch from him in the end zone. I mean, it was a tough catch, but he
Alshon's the same way. Give Alshon those plays over and over.
Nice to see Alshon get in the end zone.
If Alshon is back to being, let's not say Alshon that I thought I drafted because I think I had him ranked like 6 at receiver.
Yeah.
Let's just say he's the 15th best receiver.
Yeah.
I'm winning so many championships.
I flipped Robinson for him last week.
Robinson?
Yeah.
Good trade.
I think so.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy about it. Like, I'm big on Robinson, but after watching Bortles and Robinson, like,
we talked about that. Yeah. Alshon has the best chance just because Cutler's coming back.
And he targeted him and he got a touchdown yesterday. So already I've seen more from that one little bit with Cutler than I've seen from Robinson.
And he dropped a touchdown that went through his hands and hit him in the face.
I know.
And Alshon's not big on drops either.
No, his hands are pretty good. So
I think he's just not used to getting targets. He one hit in the back of the head at one point.
I know. There's a one play where I think like John Fox was more pumped than anybody when Alshon got in the end zone. He's like, yes, we got the ball to our best player on the team and he scored a touchdown. Where has that been? Maybe I won't get fired.
Odell Beckham is at number 5 only because the matchup is not good against the Eagles, but you still just play.
You still play him. You still play the upside.
Brandon Marshall at 6, although Inunua out-targeted him last week, which is somewhat surprising. I don't care. I'm still going to start Brandon Marshall.
For sure.
Emmanuel Sanders at number 7 against Oakland.
Yeah, he's getting targeted, man. He's getting a lot of looks.
Jarvis Landry against the Jets. Michael Thomas at number 9.
Ooh, I like this. Big jump for you.
Like Michael Thomas on the road more so than I like him at home because Cooks is really good at home.
Yeah.
Thomas I just like in general, but I think he's the big body that they can get going.
Yeah, and
they don't even use Fleener now.
No.
They're like, Michael Thomas, you're basically our tight end.
Man, Hill had like 60 snaps and Fleener had like 20.
Yeah.
And Hill had...
Fleener sucks.
Yeah,
He's the Mark Ingram of tight ends.
Maybe Mark Ingram's rubbing off on him. Maybe them two like sharing dorm rooms and stuff on the road. Someone's sucking together. But like, what a bust, Fleener. Honestly. One of the biggest busts this year.
I'd like to say I'm going to compile at the end of the year my like 5 best calls of the season and my 5. I'll do my 5 worst calls.
Sure.
I have plenty of bad calls to go around.
And Robinson's one for me.
But like, don't draft Fleener. It was like just this. Yeah. This happens every year at tight end. There's the hype up tight end that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
That's thrust into a new position and it just turns out he sucks.
And you could have probably got Eifert like a couple rounds later and just.
But you would have had to wait. Till now.
You would have had to wait till now, but there's other tight ends that you could... We'll get to tight ends later. Like, half of them we're going to talk about were just waiver wire guys, like Doyle, CJ Fedorich. Like, all those guys you just play for... Plug them in. Austin Hooper, like, sure. Like, I'm with you on Thomas. He's great. He even looked great when Sherman was covering him. So, Thomas is awesome. I mean, I believe he still leads that team in catches.
Yeah.
And yards just shy with Cooks.
And,
so.
And I think if they're going to throw in the red zone, he is the logical choice to throw to because he's
body.
So giant.
Exactly. Yeah, no, Thomas.
So, Michael Thomas, let's do this.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Put my faith in you, Mikey Thomas.
I like it.
I wonder what my best calls of the year are. I was trying to go through this the other day because I have to, like, shot list everything.
Well, Evans was a big one for you, even though he was a top
I did, like, a power rankings of my best calls of the year. So far, Evans is my best football call.
Yeah.
Number one call, Danny Willett to win the Masters at 150 to 1.
Yeah. Like, you're prompt for that.
I still have money from it. I paid off half my wedding with the winnings of it.
That's so awesome. I even got drunk off that night because of you guys sitting here calling that. I'm like, I'm on that too.
Yeah,
everybody in the office.
Except for Garion. Gary was the only one who didn't bet it.
Sucker.
What a loser.
Yeah,
Garion. Yeah, he was picking out of the hat last week. The hat went 10-3 against the spread.
Hadn't got 10 games right all year. Yeah, in 8 weeks.
He didn't have 10 total wins over the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
The hat, man. The hat knows. The hat's over there. Oh. It's even got a spot on the show now.
Oh man, I'll be tuning in this week.
See
and
the hat
I'll be picking some of the hats.
We all lost to the hat. That'll be on Thursday with Tim and Garion. So the 11 to 20 range, like I mentioned, we have Jordy Nelson at 10, Devonta Adams, then Ty Montgomery, the Packers Troika up inside that range, Terrell Pryor at 13, T.Y. Hilton at 14, Baldwin, Crabtree, Demaryius Thomas, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, and Randall Cobb. I worry about Amari Cooper in this match. And I'm just waiting for people to come at me.
Yeah, no, I've
cursed you. Did you know Amari Cooper had almost 200 yards last week? How could he be this low?
And did you know that he has four 100-yard games and three in the last four? How is he this low? I am with you. It's Crabtree. This is a Crabtree week. And Clay had tweeted it out this week. And
like, I don't even want to rank Cooper this high, but his upside's so good.
His upside is tremendous.
He dropped like a 70-yard touchdown last week, too.
I know. This is roughly where I have him to, right around that 20, in that 20 range.
I don't love it.
I don't like it either. It's talent alone that you do this. I mean, if you have, you have to be really stacked. You have to probably be in a 10-man league not to play Cooper.
I mean, you could have Devonta Adams and Ty Montgomery.
You could. You could have those guys. I would play both of those guys over Cooper for sure. But I do think it's a Crabtree week. Every time that
they play Denver, Cooper sucks.
Last year.
Now, if Tlaib doesn't play, that's a bit different.
That is a bit different.
But Chris Harris might just go on him and shut him down anyway.
But Chris Harris, I think Chris Harris would go on him, and then it would be
Tlaib
on Crabtree. Okay. But it's interesting because last year, week 16, Fantasy Football Championships, I was in it and I got burned. And I said, listen, I'm going to play Cooper anyways. Zero catches. Like one target, I think. Actually, you know what? I think he had like six or seven targets, but he didn't reel any of those catches in because Denver's defense is so awesome. Their corners are wicked. I mean, Chris Harris has been lights out. I think the only touchdowns I've seen was like Brown and Kelvin in week one. And I think Tlaib was on him at one point for most of that game. But yeah, he shuts down everybody. So yeah, this is a Crabtree week. And you just look at it. If you're trying to figure out which week it is, just take the guy who's not going to be on the better corner. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, a rookie, was perfectly... He was awesome against Cooper, and it was a Crabtree week.
Yeah. Honestly, just go to see who like people are talking up that week. Whatever like fantasy experts and whatever everyone's saying, whoever is getting touted that week, just take the other guy.
Yeah.
That's seemingly how it works.
I think Crabtree's the safest one anyways.
Crabtree
the upside is
safer.
With Cooper, but I mean, the targets come from Crabtree. Those short catches, those short passes go to Crabtree. Those little slants, those five-yard passes in the red zone goes to Crabtree. So, I mean, he's the safer guy.
Stephon Diggs, you feeling him? He looked good in that. He got the touchdown.
He got the touchdown.
They took deep shots. They took him with Diggs.
Yeah.
He's at least healthy again, which is good to know.
Yeah, that is
good. And now
he
gets the Lions.
And now he gets the Lions and the narrative on them. I mean, they can't.
They're bad.
They can't cover receivers or tight ends. We saw CJ get a touchdown last week. So.
Oh, CJ. Yeah. I've had like good streamers a few weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I got a guy this week, too.
Yeah, I played CJ in a bunch of leagues. I'm actually keeping him. And in the fact that he's on a bye, I don't care. I'm not dropping him. I'm going to roll with him the rest of the way. It's like,
not bad.
He just, Brock looks his way.
I think Fuller will be healthy coming out of the bye.
Yeah.
And that might take targets away because they haven't been throwing to him because he's been banged up.
Yeah, it could. But I feel like he's going to be fine the rest of the way.
21 to 30, Kelvin Benjamin at number 21. Then we have Tyrell Williams, Tyrell the Gazelle, Brandon Cooks, Allen Robinson, Golden Tate, Quincy Anunua, Willie Snead, Jordan Matthews, Dante Moncrief, Mike Wallace, and that is assuming Steve Smith plays, who I have at number 34.
Yeah, he's going to take some targets away.
Yeah. Should I move up Matthews?
Jordan?
Yeah.
Like I'd have him ahead of Snead.
Should he be ahead of Allen Robinson? Like, where do you rank? Where do you rank Allen Robinson? Where does he fall in your rankings?
I got Robinson a little higher. I got him at 19.
Okay, so you're not.
But I'm not high on him.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
playing.
You're playing.
I'm playing him. I got him ahead of him.
Casey's been bad against receivers.
Yeah,
they're getting better since the bye.
They are getting better. So I just it's just because of the volume. I mean, he's just a consistent volume getter.
He had 15 targets last week.
I know. So
like four catches.
Exactly. So he's getting the volume, and that's what I'm banking on. Like, Jordan Matthews got it last week, but this whole Philadelphia offense where they just sprinkle in a little bit of everyone, I can't rely on Jordan Matthews to get another 14 targets. I just feel like Robinson is at least going to get double-digit targets, whether Bortles can hit him or not. He's just going to look his way and just try to force it. So that's why I have him ahead of a guy like Matthews.
Matthews or Snead?
Matthews.
Matthews or Anunua?
Anunua.
Matthews or Tate?
Tate is now all of a sudden in the top 20 in targets.
Oh, of course he had seven catches last week.
It's all Tate. I actually meant to do this before he came on. The first 4 weeks of Jones, first 4 weeks of Tate, it's like flip-flop. It really is.
Except Marvin Jones was uber productive when he was getting all the targets.
Yeah. And Tate has been just okay with getting those targets. But he's still like – he's been at least getting looked at.
Yep.
And he's
getting easy catches.
Exactly. And that's what he normally gets.
Very safe floor for PPR. I mean, I have Marvin Jones at number 31.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Now, if Xavier Rhodes doesn't play.
Good news for Jones.
Then he might go back up in the rankings. But as of right now, I'm taking it as Rhodes is playing. Not good news for old Merv.
No, it's not.
Might rather start Merv fantastic. From the Sticky Bandits than start Merv Jones.
He'd probably do the same production.
So Merv Jones at 31, Macklin at 32, Brian Quick. Number 33, ooh. Like Quick this week against that Carolina team that gives up big plays. Britt is number 37. Steve Smith, Sanu, Stills, Kenny Britt, Corey Coleman, if he plays, he's at number 38. Kendall Wright and Travis Benjamin, who is dealing with a knee injury and may
concerning.
Not play.
That's concerning. Tyrell Williams, again, Denver, played Denver last week.
Yeah, he hasn't played well against Denver.
I know.
No shocker.
No, 3 weeks ago he had 3 catches for like 4 yards, and last week he was invisible. So
And against Atlanta, he went off. He is the guy.
He looked awesome. So you're right. Yeah, he is the guy. I like him a lot. I think where you have him is fair. And, yeah, I'm just a little bit concerned with Travis Benjamin.
Yeah, Kendall Wright. The way I described Kendall Wright to Jake when we did the waiver wire show is Kendall Wright's never a guy you want to play, but he's worth having in a PPR league in case you need to play someone.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe he can develop consistency, and he does become an every week starter, but I've now played him twice. I played him last week because I had to, and he was great.
Yeah.
I also played him the week before in that same league, and he was terrible.
Yeah. No, I think you may have it the other way around. Like, he had a touchdown, and then he played the Colts, and we were like, oh, good one, then bad, and then this week, touchdown. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Last week, and then horrible, and then the week before that. So, yeah, he's a guy that you can just plug in, and
he's the best receiver on the...
Andre Johnson retired.
The thing is, he's not even a deep threat guy yet. He's open deep downfield.
He's open deep down. Yeah, you're right. He's not. So, I mean, Mariota's been nice. I mean, over the past 4 weeks, he's got like 100 fantasy points compared to like 40 in his first 4 weeks.
He keeps doing this thing where it's like 3 touchdowns on 190 yards. Like, that's not something that correlates.
No, I know. It's like on FSC when we were talking Friday after that game. It's like, you know, a lot of talk that Bortles was better than Mariota. It was like, no, like Mariota was awesome in that first half. But
Bortles is a better fantasy QB.
But a better fantasy quarterback. He's double the fantasy points. He just throws it all the time, where Mariota's more of an accuracy guy.
And they have DeMarco Murray to be like, here, win us the game, please.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I can do that.
Yeah.
41-50, really. Hearns, Tavon Austin, who I've ranked last of the Rams receivers this week, because I think that is a big play offense and a check down one, and we'll get to the guy that I like later. Devontae Parker, Sammy Coates, obviously Coates better with Ben around.
Absolutely.
Useless if Landry Jones is playing.
Yeah,
and he was dealing with that hand injury too. He should be fine now.
I think if he's on the wire, people should go pick him up.
Agreed. Cole Beasley kind of loses value with Dez back, obviously. Yeah. Rishard Matthews has been seeing an uptick in production lately with Mariota playing better. Sterling Shepard, hate the matchup. Marquise Lee, he'll be decent for some points.
Yeah, he'll be
Russell
okay.
Shepard, you can play. Robbie Anderson with the Jets is getting targets, and if they're behind, he should get a bunch here.
Yeah.
He's not great, but
no,
he's but fast.
He's another fast guy that you can plug in. Parker, interesting about Parker, he's been so disappointing.
He's sucked.
He does. He has
I can't
sucked.
Give up on him, though.
I know, I can't either. I think with Ajayi, even though this is a tough matchup against the Jets, I think with Ajayi maybe just getting all those carries and being productive, that may open things up for Parker. So
I rank Stills 6 spots higher.
Yeah, I would,
Stills
too.
Stills has been better.
Yeah, I would, too, because he is actually the deep threat. He is getting those shots downfield. It seems like Tannehill goes to him at least once a game. So he could have, 3 touchdowns over 70 yards if he didn't drop a couple. I know he dropped one in Seattle.
Yeah,
week one.
Week one. That would have won the game, too.
But I think in the last game he had, a 77-yard touchdown against Buffalo.
If you had to play one San Francisco receiver against the Saints, because they're terrible, is it Quentin Patton? Is it Torrey Smith and just hope he catches a deep one?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, three weeks ago it was Curly with Gabbert, but now I'm down on him.
I have Torrey Smith the highest out of all of them at 52.
That's the guy, yeah. At 52.
Right, that's all you really need to know. I do think one of them does something here. Yeah, it could be Vance McDonald. I don't know.
Yeah.
But someone's going to do something against the Saints.
I think it's Torrey Smith because of the deep. We saw him catch a long ball in Kaepernick's first game. He underthrew it a lot, and he was just wide open. I think it was piss poor coverage by the Bills. But I think just on hoping that they're going to take a couple of shots deep downfield, and if the rumors are true, he's a deep threat guy.
Where should I rank Percy Harvin?
I don't think you should have him on the list.
Over under games played for Percy Harvin. I'll set it at 3/4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This guy plays a game and a half, I think. I mean, Drew's all pumped up about Percy Harvin. He's right away, I told him, I was like, Percy Harvin signed with the Bills. Really? Right away goes to the waiver wire. Oh, I can't claim him. He's on waivers. You really want him, Drew? We're not talking about the Minnesota Vikings Percy Harvin with Brett Favre, who was
from
wicked
8 years ago.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the Percy Harvin with the Seahawks, who was great in the Super Bowl
once.
That one game didn't do anything really all year long. This guy's got massive headache issues. I think he's just there as like a guy who knows the offense, and Rex Ryan likes him. He had him with the Jets for a little bit as well.
He does return to a revenge game.
And a revenge game. Maybe he's there to give a little intake on Seattle if there's anything there. Or maybe he's there to just sneakily give Seattle some information on the sideline about Buffalo. Who really knows? I don't think he's there for like a on football be awesome. But that just goes to show about Robert Woods and that whole offense just being a mess.
Robert Woods still dealing with a foot injury. Charles Clay hurt his shoulder.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
they got needs, no one. Justin Hunter sucks.
Justin
Hunter Goodwin's
sucks.
Not playing.
They got Manoah McCoy. And their season is downhill because they played LeSean McCoy against Miami.
Yeah.
Brutal.
They lost the game anyway.
Rex Ryan should be fired.
Yeah, well.
He's going to get fired, actually. I think he's going
to
get fired.
All right, let's fly through the rest of these. Let's go to tight ends.
All right,
I want to talk tight ends. So here's who I have on the injury report right now. Julius Thomas, ankle, probably going to play. Charles Dice Clay, shoulder injury, probably going to play. Dwayne Allen, Luke Wilson, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Ladarius Green, Jordan Cameron, Deion Lewis, or Deion Smith. Let's try that again. Deion Sims. And Jared Cook, all probably not going to play. Jacob Tammy is out in the Thursday nighter. So the top 10, without Gronk, without Reed, without Fedorowicz.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
There's more,
Look
too.
Look at this list.
There's Vernon Davis is out. Who else? Where are the bye weeks here? Who are the Cardinals? No Jermaine Gresham.
So
no
Cardinals.
Martellus Bennett. No Eifert.
Yeah, no Zach Miller.
Yeah, no Zach Miller.
No Eifert, no C.J. Fedora, which has been pretty good. No Gronk, as you mentioned. And both Washington guys have been good. Davis was good, even with Reed last week.
So here's the top 10. Here's what we're looking at.
Yikes!
Olsen, number one by far.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah, by far. It's not even close. I just looked at number two.
Kyle Rudolph's number two because he's playing the Lions.
Seven touchdowns.
Yeah.
Is it seven or eight now?
Eight now.
It's eight now.
Eight after Fedorowicz got one. So. Yeah. Take the focal point of your passing game, put him against the Lions, probably going to have a good week. Jimmy Graham, number three, Travis Kelce, number four, Delanie Walker, number five. From the safety scale, that's where it stops.
Yeah.
Now we get into Burnage at six, who we just did a feature on him on Fantasy Sports Network. Loves the Fantasy Movie League.
Oh, I love
it. Big fan.
Yeah, did you see his suit?
Yeah.
It's like a pumpkin suit. Yeah, you should watch it. It's actually pretty cool.
Should we throw to a clip right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Yeah.
Gary Burnage.
He's awesome.
I don't even know what the clip was. I haven't seen the video yet.
he's fantastic. Gary Burns is my boy.
Antonio Gates, he's back to full health and playing way more snaps than Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry has dropped down to 53% of snaps, with Gates playing almost like 80%. And Gates not being asked to block too much.
No.
They don't like him in there as a blocker.
No.
And Tennessee bad against tight ends, the fourth most receiving yards given up to the position. I still have Henry at 15.
Yeah.
I don't think he's useless, but Gates is clearly the better option. Dennis Pitta still has like the most targets of anyone without a touchdown.
Yeah, I know.
Eventually that's going to change.
Yeah.
So he's getting the targets. He's at number eight. Lance Kendricks and Austin Hooper, number 9 and number 10. And this is the interesting part here. I like Lance Kendricks. I know that's weird to say.
It's not that weird.
8 targets 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago now because they had the bye. 9 targets the week before. Carolina's the second worst against tight ends.
Yeah.
And a lot of this has to do with Todd Gurley being really crappy. He's averaging 3 yards per carry. Carolina is giving up 3.3 yards per carry on the ground. Their run defense is all actually still pretty good. And because of that futility, Lance Kendricks is doing stuff, at least getting targeted. I think that he sees 7-plus targets in this game. He scored over 10 PPR points in 3 of the last 4. Like, he's all right.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I like that.
$2,800 on DraftKings.
Top 10. Yeah, that's a nice play. I mean, we got away with it for 3 straight weeks now with Doyle.
Doyle,
Fedorowicz. And now Kendricks. You're right. I mean, all the points that you just said. I mean, they're going to have trouble running the ball. He's been getting targeted. That's what we want. I mean, we can't bank on all these guys getting 7-8 targets. I mean, we can in the top few. But like Burnage, I don't know if he's going to get 8 targets. I mean, Walker should, but and Pitta's been getting them. So yeah, you're right here for having Kendricks. I think that's a sneaky play and somebody that's probably available on the waiver wire.
Austin Hooper. No Jacob Tammy.
Yeah.
I'm rolling with him.
I don't know if I'm buying into this one.
I just think that there is room in that offense for people to get targets. Like, there's no Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
So Freeman's not going to get every target
that Coleman
gets.
And Julio is not 100%.
Julio's not 100%, and teams are like, hey, we're going to quadruple team Julio Jones.
Yeah, that leaves
you
things open
you
for
throw
Sanu.
It to Mohamed Sanu, but then that's it.
Yeah, for
but
Sanu,
you think the sledgehammer, Taylor Gabriel, is going to continue getting 49-yard touchdowns? Not a chance.
That song brings me back. Sledgehammer, awesome. Yeah, not a chance. No, you're right. So
I would take a shot on him is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In a week where there's no tight ends.
In a week when there's no tight ends. I mean, we just named 5 or 6 awesome ones who were sitting on the sidelines this week. So, yeah, I mean, you could take a shot on him. I like Eric Ebron He came in.
This is a tough matchup,
but I think if he's on your waiver wire, you can go ahead and pick him up
to
and
play
in the couple
beyond
weeks coming
this week.
On
because
I noticed from him is he came back and he was heavily targeted like he was in the
most
first
targets
few weeks.
Ever.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah.
So, most catches, 7.
Yeah.
I can't believe he caught 7 balls.
I know. That's a knock on him. He can't catch. But just to see him back in the offense and you know, Stafford was going his way a lot earlier on in the season. He got hurt. To see him come back and be heavily involved right away was really encouraging to see.
The 10 to 20 range, we have Cameron, who's trying to make America braid again. He's playing in the Thursday nighter. He's going to be fine. Jason Witten, Cleveland's bad against tight ends.
He's wide open in overtime.
Julius Thomas, Ebron, Hunter Henry, Zach Ertz, Jack Doyle, Jesse James, and Vance McDonald. Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah. This is a good matchup.
Yeah. Like, just against the Saints, take a shot.
Yeah. I mean, why not? They should be able to put up some points.
I would think so.
Yeah. They should. They still should be able to put up like 3 touchdowns.
Like, you don't have any particular feelings towards any of these guys
no.
that you really like and
no.
should be way higher?
No. There's nobody here I like. I mean, I still kind of like Jack Doyle as a big body, but Moncrief's back now. We saw Moncrief get a touchdown in the red zone. I mean,
that's kind of why. We didn't even kind of bring up Moncrief. I had Moncrief at,
I think he had him at
29.
Yeah.
That's fair. He's a wide receiver 3 with the potential to be higher because he catches touchdowns.
Absolutely, yeah. Him and Luck have a wicked
connection. And he takes away from T.Y.
Yeah, he does. He takes away from T.Y. I know that was like not...
T.Y. got hurt for a few plays.
He got hurt for a few plays, but I thought I had the best like DraftKings lineup with like with Booker and all these young bucks who just went like C.J. Fedorich, like low price. And then I have like Evans, Julio, and T.Y. and like...
Nothing.
They did nothing. T.Y., that was his worst game. I think he only had, like, a catch.
You want to hear my not sympathetic and, like, super crappy hearing DraftKings story from the weekend? Mm. So, sitting, like, 3/4 of the way into the Atlanta-Green Bay game, I looked at my live winnings. Like, I play around, like, anywhere between $350 and $800 bucks a week on DraftKings. Yeah. I think this week I played like $500.
Yeah.
I had a team dancing in the Millie Maker.
Ooh.
A Derek Carr team.
Ooh.
Derek Carr, Amari Cooper.
You could have played Crabtree too.
I did play Crabtree.
Oh, so
I did the triple stack.
Oh, nice.
And I just looked, and I had that in like a lot of single entry tournaments and like a 3 max entry. And like that was my one really good lineup. And it was inside the top like 125 in terms of the Millionaire Maker. And I looked at my screen like, oh, currently winning like 4 G's. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And I fell asleep because I always take a nap on Sundays after we do the show. So I have to write the column later that night. I wake up, it's like, you are currently winning $900. Now, that's fine.
Yeah. But to go down
going into the week,
G's.
Yeah, just be like, oh, what happened? And I started scrolling through. I was like, no one really scored a touchdown. I was like, oh, Devonta Adams had like 30 catches in like the 4th quarter.
I know.
Like, oh, there goes me.
Yeah, he went off in that game.
That's my non-sympathetic.
Still, I mean, you place.
Sucks.
It's not bad. You place. But, I mean, yeah, just sit there and look at the 4 G's.
No, I went
3 games left.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only 2.
But in all those tournaments, and like the Millie Maker's not so bad because I think it was like $600 and it dropped down. I ended up winning like, you know, 150 in the Millie because I dropped down to like 600th or something like that. Just sucked.
Yeah, it does suck. I mean, it's nice to
see. Guy on Grinders won the Millie Maker this year.
Really?
Yeah. Or last week. Good week for a good year for DFS like pros winning the Millionaire Maker.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, game of skill. Gotta like it.
It is a game of skill.
And a lot of entries. You entered a lot of lineups, you're going to have a better chance to win.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could afford that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're here doing the content business, not the DFS pro business.
That's what it's all about. I want people out there to win millions, not myself, okay?
Yeah.
When you win a million, maybe you can send me a card.
Guy sent me $20.
A guy in the office. Remember, he was watching us the second week, and we gave some plays. We were like Marvin Jones, a couple other ones. He comes in the office Monday and thanks us. He won like $6,000.
Six G's and a $1 entry.
Yes.
Yeah. But we didn't win.
It's like, wow. He's like, me, he played all your favorite guys. I'm like, well, good on you, bud, because I didn't play them apparently, or I had them mixed up. And I like to hear that stories when people
win. Oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome. That's why we're here.
Defenses. Very quickly. Vikings still at the top. I don't care what happened on Monday night. They're going to eat up Matt Stafford.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eagles, Seahawks, Packers, Chiefs, Broncos, Cowboys, Falcons on Thursday night. The Giants and the Chargers. I'm not really feeling a whole lot of defense. I really like the Packers for DFS.
Yeah, I like the Packers too. I guess maybe if
Packers
there's no Big Ben, maybe the Ravens could
be
something.
Yeah, I would move the Ravens up if there's no Big Ben. These are done as if Big Ben is playing.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair.
Anything else to talk about defenses? I really don't care.
No, not really. I mean, I picked up Titans last week and then got damn 4 points because Bortles smells like garbage. Damn Bortles.
QBs.
Let's see.
Here we go.
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, number one, because he throws the ball 70 times a game.
Yeah, it's fair.
That works.
It's fair.
Matt Ryan, number two. Andrew Luck, number three. Drew Brees, number four. Famous Jameis Winston, number five. Rivers, Ben, Cam Newton. And then it gets to the tricky part. Like, those are the good guys. Those are the good guys and good matchups that you're playing. Sam Bradford, number 9. He's averaging over 17 fantasy points per game at home, only 11 on the road.
Interesting.
And he's playing the Lions, who aren't good.
I can get behind that.
And no one, I mean,
I was a little bit surprised to see him as high, but I mean, you make good points. I mean, they can't cover wide receivers, they can't cover tight ends. They don't really put out a lot of pressure.
And Minnesota can't run.
And Minnesota can't run. A little bit healthier for Diggs. Looking a little bit better in that offense.
I think DFS-wise, no one's going to play him because they just saw what he did. I think he's an all right play.
Yeah,
I don't think he throws like 400 yards and four touchdowns.
No.
But I think he's probably pretty good for, you know, 250 and 2-3 touchdowns.
I think I might have to move him up a little bit.
Ooh.
I think I might have to move him up a little bit. Apparently, I didn't bring in my quarterback rankings. But yeah, I mean, this is a good matchup.
Yeah.
It's a good matchup.
It's a week devoid of really good matchups.
And I think about it, if Diggs is like anything that he was in the first couple games of the season, then Bradford's definitely putting up at least 17 fantasy points.
Yeah, and you know, Rudolph's probably going to catch a touchdown.
Yeah, and 17 to 20 fantasy points will put you in the top 10 this week.
Blake Bortles, number 10. I have Dak Prescott at number 11. A lot of people said, oh, he's a better streamer than Sam Bradford. And while on the surface, I would tend to agree, when you start thinking about it in that scenario that I kind of brought up earlier where it could just be a lot of Ezekiel Elliott.
Even Morris. Morris might get a lot of play this week, too.
And that could cap the upside of Dak.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what I worry. It was almost like one of the reasons I moved Russell Wilson down in the rankings last week, despite the good match. It didn't play out this way, but
right.
I just think Christine Michael, when they get in close, they just give the ball to him. He's not going to throw a touchdown.
Yeah.
I can see the same thing happening
and
with Dak.
And that did happen. Michael did have a goal line touchdown. Yeah, and that did happen. So you were right on that point. Dak is certainly a startable quarterback this week.
Sure.
I mean, you got him at 11.
Yeah,
I mean, you got 12,
he's fine. I just prefer
people.
I prefer Bradford if you have to pick up one guy.
Yeah, because you think they're going to run the ball. Sure. And I mean, Dak didn't even look great in that game. I know he had his best fantasy performance, but he in the fourth quarter and then overtime, he got the touchdowns.
Yeah.
Rushing touchdowns, got four now. But yeah, this is probably going to be a lot of Zeke and I think a lot of Alfred Morris. I think they're just going to be up in this game where they really don't, they could maybe conserve Zeke a little bit and just like, hey, maybe we'll give you a week off. We're not going to get 30 touches. You're going to get 15 to 20.
If this game turns into a blowout, you think we see Tony Romo in the fourth quarter just to get some reps?
Maybe, but
that'd be smart, I think.
I think so too. From what I heard this morning, and Jerry Jones, you can only take what he says, like, you can't even take it seriously, but he basically said like Dak the rest of the way this season. He didn't want to ruin with the chemistry and that
you
kind of
have to.
And
don't
that Romo
you?
Wasn't that close. I thought that the way the game was going against the Eagles and the pressure that they were putting on him, and you really saw. I mean, that's what was with Dak. Everyone was talking about the accuracy. He's so accurate. He's so patient in there. The Eagles just ran a lot of blitzes, and I don't think.
Well, the Eagles had the best defense in the league, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of teams were. I don't think Dak was really, you know, used to that. So at one point, he was like 12 for 30. I mean, he just wasn't great. And the fourth, late in the fourth, in the overtime, obviously the wicked drive to tie the game, and then, you know, a wicked drive to finish it. So I think that they're just. I think that was an opportunity. If they lost that game, that maybe they go to Romo. But I think now that they won that game, the division, they're continuing to be on top. He got Cleveland. This is only good news for Dak, and I think they're going to continue to roll with him now.
Prescott 11, Ryan Tannehill number 12, Colin Kaepernick number 13, Marcus Mariota 14, Derek Carr against the Broncos number 15. I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling.
How could you have Carr at 15? He had 500.
He just threw for 500 yards.
His quarterback four to date. Yeah, this is a tough matchup. He's going to struggle. He struggles inside the division. KC as well. He's just not good against those two.
Russell
teams.
Wilson 16.
Yeah.
Until I see it,
he's not.
I'm not buying it, but. I'm not dropping him.
No.
He's getting the knee brace off this week.
That's good because there's like 30 backs.
He has 44 rushing yards.
There's like 25 quarterbacks that have more rushing yards than him.
Tom Brady's one of them, I think.
Yeah, he's running so fast out there, according to Mama Brady. But yeah, no, he's got the knee brace. He's clearly not 100%.
I have Foles at number 17. I think he plays over Smith.
I like him over Smith. He's at least willing to take shots downfield.
Yeah, but we saw the best of Nick Foles last week. When we start seeing the bad Nick Foles, it gets bad quickly.
But I think like Andy Reid is comfortable with him, and I think that's why they signed him. Like
apparently Foles wanted to sign
playbook. Yeah, well, why wouldn't he? I mean, he probably wants a starting job, of course.
Sure,
but
he probably is realistic enough to know that was not on the table.
Exactly, and he knows Reid from familiarity in Philadelphia. I'm sure the playbook is very similar, and also a guy like Jeremy Maclin, who he's used to, and he took shots. I mean, Maclin had 10 touchdowns with Foles as quarterback, and a lot of those were deep shots. So maybe good news for Maclin.
Hopefully.
Owners.
I have Maclin a lot of places.
Yeah, I got Maclin a couple spots too, and very, very disappointing. This guy's not even going to get like 600 yards this year.
McCown, Keenum, Fitzmagic, Wentz, Flacco, Tyrod, Stafford, Semien. Last place, Eli Manning.
Ooh. Yeah, against those Eagles.
Yeah, I just think the Eagles are probably the best E.
Yeah, I mean.
And Eli hasn't been good.
It's amazing what Schwartz has been able to do. Yeah, Eli's been very, very inconsistent.
A lot of yards, no touchdowns.
A lot of yards, no touchdowns.
Doesn't this feel like a 4-pick Eli game?
I hope so.
And that's why, I mean, I'm normally not really down on Matt Stafford. I actually really like him. Yeah. Even in bad matchups, I tend to rank him inside the top 10 because they don't run, they just throw. But I have a feeling that all the goodwill that Matt Stafford has built up over the past 12 weeks dating back to last season all comes to a head.
Yeah, and he struggled on the road in Houston, and I think it's going to be much of the same. I've been so wrong. I have Bortles and Stafford in one league.
Just every week the wrong guy?
Just the wrong guy.
Stafford just is the guy to play basically every week.
Yeah, and that's what I did last week. I went to that conclusion. I'm like, that's it. Bortles couldn't do anything against Oakland. I'm going Stafford. And it was that garbage time.
I dropped Bortles for Fitzpatrick and played Fitzpatrick instead.
And I don't blame you. I mean, that's something I probably would have done as well. I mean, his Bortles has been so damn inconsistent. But this week, I mean, you got Bortles ahead of Stafford. It's like, I'm in the same situation again. Like, sure, like, I'll probably start Bortles in Kansas City, but would I be shocked that this guy does absolutely nothing on the road in Kansas City? It's just, it's not great. At least Stafford's got better weapons.
That's true. Colin Kaepernick, I have at number 13. Weirdly enough, I think he's super safe.
Yeah?
He's averaging 7.5 points a game just with his legs.
Just with his legs? Yeah, he's going to...
This
is a great matchup.
Yeah,
coming off a bye.
Saints.
More opportunity maybe to have like some, you know, some chemistry with some of these guys where he wasn't getting those first team reps.
And now he's had the bye week.
He's had a couple weeks to play. That's what I mean. He had the bye week. He's had more reps with his teammates this week. Maybe a better connection. Maybe Hyde is healthy. And yeah, you're right. I mean, he can make things happen with his legs. I mean, would you be shocked if he had 100 yards on the ground against the Saints?
No, I really like him as a DraftKings play this week because there is the potential. Probably doesn't happen. This is obviously upside talking here. But he could rush for 100 yards and throw for 300 yards in this game.
Yeah.
That's on the table against the Saints.
Yeah. He didn't look bad in his first game against Buffalo.
No.
He was fine.
Didn't look great against Tampa.
No.
It's because he's not great.
Yeah, he's not.
But fantasy, he's like how Bortles is a good fantasy QB.
Yeah.
Kaepernick can manufacture a lot of safe points.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
I agree with you.
All right. He'll do it on the Pat Mayo Hour. Chris Meany. Check him out on Twitter. @ChrisMeany. Hockey show finally starting soon.
Yeah, November 14th.
But you missed my fantasy hockey draft, so thanks a lot.
What, you drafted?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if people did a fantasy hockey draft.
Oh, yeah, fair. But I wrote an article on rotoexperts.com. I'll write one every week, just like previewing the week with four game streams and a lot of guys that should be cut that are owned.
You know, I used to write that column on rotoexperts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the first year I worked for rotoexperts, I think it was 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
And I wrote the hockey stream, the four game stream.
Okay.
Column.
Nice.
Back when I used to play fantasy hockey.
Well, I'm taking over now.
Yeah, now it's all you. You can have it. And watch Fantasy Sports Today every weekday on Fantasy Sports Network at noon.
Noon.
Yeah, it's live at noon. And then Sundays, Meany and Gary will be here this week to bring you through 11 a.m. till kickoff. They'll have all the latest injuries, rankings, adjustments, all that stuff. You can follow me at ThePME on Twitter. And remember to subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour, now hosted, the audio version at least, on Audio Boom. But iTunes is still probably the best way to do it, that or Stitcher. All right, Pat Mayo, I'll see you next time.